to Local Motion. I'm Jody Peterson for KVNF. Today we're going to be talking about two seismic surveying projects which are being proposed near Paonia. They're called Trail Gulch and Iron Point. And these two projects have been proposed by Gunnison Energy, which is in search of natural gas deposits to develop. I'm here with Andrew Forkas Goodmanson, Associate Program Director at Citizens for a Healthy Community. Citizens for a Healthy Community is a nonprofit environmental organization based in Paonia with a special focus on the impacts of oil and gas development in the North Fork Valley. So, Andrew, can you describe these seismic surveying projects for us? You know, where they're located, what exactly the seismic mapping process is?
Sure. So these are two separate projects. And while they are two separate projects, they've been proposed at the same time by the same company in the same project area. So one of the things that we've actually been working on is to get the Forest Service to consider them together rather than separately. So I'm going to talk about them together, which I think makes more sense. So they are located, as you said, just outside of Paonia, at their closest point, I believe about 12 miles from the town, directly to the northeast. In total, they cover a scope of just about 82 square miles, and they overlap with a series of critical watersheds in the upper North Fork. They're overlapping with the Clear Fork, the Muddy, Turner Creek, Terror, and Hubbard, among others, but a series of high elevation critical watersheds that that are both home to endangered fish species and also supply the clean and clear water that make the North Fork Valley the organic paradise that it is.
And these seismic mapping projects, can you explain what exactly they'll be doing?
Sure. So seismic mapping involves the gathering of essentially acoustic data, acoustic vibrations, sound waves that the seismic survey operator will generate by either driving heavy trucks with flat vibrating plates that basically shake the ground at a high frequency, or by drilling a series of relatively shallow 20 to 60 foot deep holes called shot holes, and then setting off somewhere between 2 and 5 pounds of dynamite in the bottom. And that dynamite will then generate the acoustic waves that are measured. Then they measure them by stringing a series of receivers, microphones, that are called geophones. And these geophones measure the seismic waves, and as they bounce off different rock strata, the operators can use some really fancy software and determine whether or not it's likely that oil and gas resources are present in the rocks. They're looking for basically shale formations that are gas source rocks.
And if they discover those formations that they're looking for, then these, as I understand it, this company already has leases to develop oil and gas resources those areas?
Yeah, so Gunnison Energy and another oil and gas company, SG Interest, both have leases underlying the project area.
So that means that they basically already have the right to develop.
They have their toe in the door, basically, mm-hmm. to get this development going. What they haven't done is submitted any specific plans to develop those resources. But since they have the lease, that's essentially a guaranteed right to the concept of development. So they already own the right to get on the land to extract those minerals. What they haven't done is proposed how they would do that. And that would require a fairly extensive planning process since it involves federal minerals and federal surface. So it would have to go through a BLM and Forest Service planning process prior to actual extraction. This is basically step two in the process, step one being leasing.
So at this point, they're at step two. They want to conduct these mapping projects to determine what kind of oil and gas resources might be out there. So what is the process for that? Those permits being granted to them? I understand the Forest Service will be evaluating the effects of those projects.
Yeah, so the projects involve both private and federal surface. So on the private lands, privately owned lands, the county basically is the permitting agency. So these projects overlap both Delta and Gunnison County. So both Delta and Gunnison counties are analyzing the projects through their specific development processes, and they'll issue permits for the private land aspect of these projects. Then where they involve public lands, in this case Forest Service, the Forest Service will be conducting an analysis of the potential impacts, deciding whether or not it fits within the scope of the Forest Service, whether or not there are any significant impacts that need to be mitigated, and then they'll either approve or deny the permit. There's also a state process, but it's extremely simple. It's simply submitting an application to conduct seismic activity, which is essentially just a rubber stamp permit from the COGCC.
So the Forest Service will be analyzing the impacts of this project, and it will, it has a couple of different avenues that it can pursue to do that.
That's right. So there's two avenues of environmental review that the Forest Service can pursue. What we're asking for is that they conduct an environmental assessment. This is a more detailed look at the potential scope of impacts that the project could have. It requires the Forest Service to take a few more steps. They have to look at the scope of foreseeable development around the project areas and the cumulative impacts of all of the oil and gas and other activities that are currently happening on Forest Service lands in the area. So looking at current development proposals, reasonably foreseeable future development proposals, grazing, recreation, all this stuff has to be lumped together. And then they look at whether or not this proposed activity, these seismic mapping projects, will contribute to a likely adverse environmental impact. So that's an environmental assessment, and that's what we're asking for. And we're asking for it because it is a more serious look. Unfortunately, the more likely avenue the Forest Service is likely to pursue is a categorical exclusion. And a categorical exclusion is a tool that the federal agencies have created to sort of lump activities that they don't deem to have significant impacts into a silo that they can simply say, if it's this activity, it doesn't have an impact, and we don't have to do that much analysis. And so it's basically an expedited environmental review process.
If this project winds up being approved and Gunnison Energy is able to locate gas deposits that it decides to develop, and it actually does proceed with developing those, will the gas produced from that further the Trump administration's goal of providing domestic energy independence?
You know, that's kind of a big long-term question, and it's something that we've been working really hard to answer. Is the natural gas that comes out of the North Fork heating North Fork Valley homes? Right now, it seems unlikely. All of the companies pursuing North Fork gas are also actively pursuing a West Coast natural gas export market, trying to send Colorado oil and gas to China or India or Russia or somewhere else. It really fits in with former Interior Secretary Zinke's mission of global energy dominance, making American energy great again. And while that might be well and good for oil and gas company profit lines, it doesn't necessarily benefit the North Fork communities that are asked to sacrifice their health, safety, and environment for those profits.
When you mentioned potential sacrifices, could you talk a little bit more about that and describe what some of the potential impacts of this project might be, both in terms of how the seismic mapping might create impacts, and then potentially I would imagine there'd be much greater impacts from the actual development of those resources?
Sure. So we are concerned both with the impacts from seismic mapping and future development. A lot of times seismic mapping gets sort of like pushed under the rug as like a minor, least impactful way of searching for these resources. But what that leaves out is that they're predicting needing 50 to 60 employees tramping through the woods, flying helicopters with portable drilling rigs attached to a helicopter into areas of steep, unstable slopes and drilling roughly 7,000 60-foot deep holes across the most geologically unstable portion of Colorado. And then not only are they going to drill those holes, but they're going to put 5 pounds of dynamite in the bottom of each one, set it off sequentially, and then measure the seismic waves that come out of those. So they're going to detonate something like 5 times 7,000 pounds of dynamite in an area that the Colorado Department of Transportation considers the second most dangerous transportation corridor in the state. So that's obviously an impact that we're looking at, the geophysical impact to the actual ground. We're also concerned about increased truck traffic leading to sediment runoff into threatened fish species habitat in the Clear Fork and Muddy Fork. We're concerned with impacts to the Terra Ditchin Reservoir Company's reservoir infrastructure in the area. It's an extremely fragile and old dam, and the energy company has refused to recognize the potential of risk to that dam and the potential risk of detonating several thousand pounds of dynamite within a couple of miles of this fragile and very old dam. Beyond that, we're also concerned with impacts to wildlife from flying helicopters around at all hours of the day, driving ATVs and dirt bikes and snowmobiles across the terrain at odd hours. We can go on and on. Citizens Rally Community has produced a couple of useful little fact sheets about the project. If you want to get in more details, you can visit our website.
All right. And one thing that's foremost on the minds of many people in the North Fork right now is our water resources. And can you talk a little bit about what the development of this project might mean to water resources in the North Fork?
Sure. So we don't really know what development of the parcels related to the seismic mapping would look like, but we do have a project called the North Fork Mancos Master Development Plan, which is in the exact same project area. And we recently got a new environmental assessment from the BLM that showed that for every well they planned on drilling, they would need 64 acre feet of water. An acre foot is 325,000 gallons of water. So they want to drill 35 wells. Each well would need 325,000 gallons of water. And as we've seen with this recent water emergency in Paonia, our water infrastructure is fragile. And while this is on the other side of the drainage and Paonia doesn't get any water from this specific area, what we do know is there's just not a lot of water to spare in this system. Sacrificing this essential element of human survival, again, for oil and gas development profits, doesn't seem very tenable in an area where, you know, a single cracked water main can set the town back for a month.
As this project moves forward, there will probably be additional opportunities for the public to comment and make their voices heard. So can you talk a little bit about effective commenting, both with the Forest Service and with Delta County?
Sure. Yeah. So submitting substantive comments is a vital component of the environmental review process. The Forest Service has indicated that there's going to be an additional opportunity for comment on the Forest Service processes. And while general comments in favor of or opposed to these developments are better than no comments, what we really need is substantive, detailed comments. And it really helps if they're personal. Me, as a representative of an environmental organization, it's all well and good for me to write about general impacts. But what really drives the point home is the impacts to you as a human, you as a person or your business or your enjoyment of an area. So what a substantive comment looks like is from a person who uses this area or relies on water that originates in this area or has a business that's dependent on access to clean air and water, talking about those potential impacts. And it doesn't have to be in lawyerly language or anything like that, but there are a lot of documents that have been produced by the Forest Service that highlight areas of impact. So wildlife, surface water, groundwater, air quality. And all you have to do is fit your comments into those little bubbles and talk about how air quality in the North Fork is important to you and how it could be adversely impacted by this project. And that's for the Forest Service. And we're also in a county commenting process right now, and the county's actually accepting comments until March 11th. And then they'll have a meeting on March 11th to decide whether or not they want to approve the project. And comments for the county are very similar. They have a set of regulations that they're trying to enforce, regulations that ensure protection for irrigation water and making sure that Forest Service activities or industry activities don't adversely impact the ability of somebody to graze their cattle on the land or something like that. And so again, just a personal story of how this development proposal impacts your either use or enjoyment or benefit from these categories of things being analyzed by the agency.
Stepping away from this particular project and looking at the picture of oil and gas development across Colorado, do you see anything in the near future coming up that could drastically affect oil and gas regulations?
I do, yeah. It's actually a really exciting day in Colorado history right now. I think it's probably the most comprehensive oil and gas reform in like 50 years. Right now, the state legislature is considering SB 19181, which is a bill concerning oil and gas operations in the state. And it's essentially a wholesale reform of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and its mission. And so that's the agency that regulates oil and gas activity in the state. And essentially what this bill will do is say that the COGCC is no longer in the business of fostering oil and gas development. It's in the business of protecting public health and safety. It's something that groups like CHC and our friends across the state have been working on for years, codifying the idea that public health, safety, and welfare and the environment are the keystone of the state's regulatory mandate. And this bill really goes a long way to putting that into law. And it's really remarkable. I'm not 100% sure when the bill will be voted on finally, but it's working its way through committee as we speak. And we're hopeful that it'll survive and pass, and Colorado's public health, safety, and welfare will be protected.
That was Andrew Forkas Gudmundsson, Associate Program Director at Citizens for a Healthy Community. and you're tuned in to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Jody Peterson. The Paonia Ranger District, one of two districts on the Gunnison National Forest, encompasses the headwaters of the North Fork of the Gunnison River. The Paonia District is primarily a recreation and range district with significant minerals potential. KVNF's Allie Lightfoot spoke with Paonia District Ranger Levi Broyles, who has been in charge of analyzing and assessing the proposed seismic testing project since last October.
Thank you for being here today to talk about this.
You bet.
Can you, first of all, talk about what you are determining in order to make this decision? Ultimately, the Forest Service either approves the project or not. Am I right?
That's correct.
And so what criteria are you using to make this determination?
The determination whether or not to approve the project, it's not entirely discretionary because most of the projects lie on existing oil and gas leases. And as an exploration project, once the leases are issued, that gives the legal right of entry. And exploration steers as to how that entry might occur. But the exact process that we're looking at right now is actually they have applied for permits to conduct seismic exploration. So I'm reviewing their application for a permit, and we are developing conditions of approval to be attached to the permit that will steer exactly what they can and cannot do in the exploration projects.
And what are these things that they may be able to do or not do? Can you give us some examples?
I can. The first thing we looked at was standoff distance, and that's the distance between whether it's the explosive charge or vibro-sized trucks, which vibrate and send sound into the earth. And there are safe distances that have been established through scientific research that say you have to be this far away from a house or a dam or an irrigation ditch, for example, in order to not damage them. So those are the first ones we looked at. I've also been working with Colorado Parks and Wildlife to look at elk calving range, elk winter range, big game hunting seasons. There are also conditions of approval for steep slopes, unstable slopes, wetlands, those types of things. What we're looking for is to protect the surface resources as best we can.
And so there are two different kinds of assessments that you could make, right? There's either an environmental assessment or a categorical exclusion.
Correct.
And can you talk about the difference between those two?
Sure.
And what you, so far, what you're going to be recommending?
Yes. The first is categorical exclusion. And these are categories of projects that have been determined either through legislation or the National Forest Service Office that are excluded from documentation in an environmental assessment or an environmental impact statement. Those are all spelled out in the Code of Federal Regulations and our policies. There is a category that was specifically written for geoseismic exploration. So that was my first look in trying to be efficient of our use of the government time and money. The first question is, does it fit in that category? And the types of questions that we ask in generically speaking when we first start looking at categorical exclusion versus EA, we have a list of things called resource conditions that could be deemed extraordinary circumstances. Those include threatened and endangered species, federally designated critical habitat associated with those, floodplains, wetlands, municipal watersheds, research natural areas, native religious, cultural, or archaeological sites, and inventoried roadless areas and potential wilderness areas. It's not that the mere presence of those resources immediately kicks you into an environmental assessment. What I'm doing now is based on the roughly 700 comments we've gotten through scoping, is I'm evaluating what the extent of the potential impacts to those resources I just listed are, to make a determination whether or not it fits into that category.
So you've had two comment periods,
correct,
right? And you say you've received 700 or more comments?
More or less, yeah.
And so what are those comments leading you to think?
We're not 100% through them yet, but I am not convinced that the issues that were brought forth in the comments are to the extent that the effects to the resources that I just listed would merit the need for an environmental assessment.
Can you talk about what led you to that conclusion?
Well, you know, some of the conditions of approval that I just mentioned came from the results of the comments. A lot of comments about elk, about winter range, about irrigation ditches, about all those sorts of things. So we try to create conditions of approval to minimize or negate the effects to those things, including roadless areas. So there are roadless areas in there, but if we can minimize the impacts to the roadless areas, i.e. no tree cutting, no road building, no motorized travel in the roadless areas, the issue has therefore been addressed and doesn't merit a full-blown environmental assessment.
What are some of the concerns from these comments, whether you think that there are really any basis for the concern or not? What are some of the things that people are worried about?
A lot of comments regarding operations during hunting seasons, potential impacts to elk on their winter range, potential impacts to irrigation ditches, one dam in particular. As I said, there are 700 letters, but those are the ones we heard over and over and over again.
And how do you make that determination? Let's say somebody is worried about the Terror Creek watershed, or somebody's worried about endangered species where they think that the habitat for the Canada lynx and cutthroat trout and other things are running through this area. How do you then determine whether or not that's a concern?
First, you just provided me a really good opportunity to put in a plug for potential and past commenters out there. Very specific comments are helpful. The more specific, the better. Even if you have a laundry list of lynx, elk winter range, the Terror Creek ditch, the reservoir dam, those sorts of things are much more helpful than a comment, "I'm concerned about the Terror Creek watershed." That could mean a lot of things, and it's very difficult to respond to and provide an analysis that encapsulates something that's that generic.
Will there be more public comment periods, and how will the community members work with you in the future?
There will. And even though it's not terribly common to have two, much less three comment periods, particularly when you're leaning towards a categorical exclusion, we went out a second time because a second project was added and we re-included the first project within that. So you actually had two opportunities to comment on the first project, but we wanted to get it all out there in front of everybody. What we're doing right now is waiting to hear back comments from Colorado Parks and Wildlife, as well as Delta and Gunnison counties, on our draft conditions of approval. Once we get those comments back from the counties and CPW, we will then go out to the public with the draft conditions of approval. Not something that's terribly common, but because of the interest in this project, and that was one of the primary ways that we had of responding to people's comments and letting folks know that we heard you. We're going to send those out for 2 weeks, and people can comment on those as well. And I'm hoping to get the responses back from the counties and CPW this week. And as soon as we get those back, we'll turn it around and send it out to everyone who has commented this far.
What will happen if you determine, yes, that it's okay for them to move forward with the seismic testing? And what if you determine no? Can you sort of give us a timeline and process for what would happen either way? And also, I'm wondering how the Forest Service stays involved after the determination is made.
To the first part of your question, I don't envision that the answer would be no on the issuance of the permit. As I said, I don't really have discretion as to whether or not exploration can occur, particularly on an existing oil and gas lease. But because we still haven't completed our review of all the comments, and we will be getting more comments on the COAs, it's not beyond reason that my initial assessment that it might fit the CE could be changed. So we may have to change to environmental assessment. So that didn't really answer your question, but that's where I am right now.
The second part of the question was timeline for that kind of process. Then there was actually a third part. How does the Forest Service how are you involved after the determination is made?
The timeline really relies on how many comments and what the comments are about regarding the draft conditions of approval. It may take us some time to get through those. If the result of that is, yes, I think we can stay with the categorical exclusion, we're probably talking about a matter of weeks before a decision memo for the categorical exclusion could be signed. If the determination is we need environmental assessment, we're probably talking about another 6 months. And our involvement after the fact really relies heavily on our cooperation with Gunnison and Delta County, their oil and gas reps, folks from the state who will help monitor, but there are several different entities in the state of Colorado who oversee things in coordination with people like alcohol, tobacco, and firearms when it comes to explosives. So it's really a combined effort. And we will be, because we are the closest, we have a person in the office who will be out there probably not on a daily basis, but probably 3 days a week to make sure that all the conditions of approval are being complied with, to notify the appropriate entities if they are not.
I've been speaking with Forest District Ranger for Paonia, Levi Broyles, and we've been talking about the seismic mapping projects proposed near Paonia and how the Forest Service is involved in the process. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And now we'll take a look at a county representative's perspective on oil and gas development. Delta County District 2 Commissioner Don Supas spoke with Felix Belmont about oil and gas development and the seismic testing project when it was originally proposed last fall.
The BLM announced that they were deferring 58 parcels, including 74,516 acres in the North Fork, from the December 13th oil and gas sales. Many citizens have been concerned about oil and gas leasing on public lands in this area. What is the significance of this cancellation? Overall, is this a blow to our local economy, or in reality, is it good for the area?
You know, overall, it's a blow to the economy. The oil and gas revenue that the county sees, they're not huge, but they are still good-paying jobs. There are still royalties that come into the county. There are the royalties to the property owners that own those mineral rights. And so it is a blow to the county. You know, we do a great job of policing and monitoring the oil and gas development that does take place in this county. And, you know, if it weren't for, you know, a lot of the groups out here really, you know, raising heck about it, you wouldn't even know there was oil and gas and development going on in Delta County, because they really do a good job at it. They're very clean. They're very concise. And they're very mindful of the environment when they go through the process. So, you know, I think we'll see these leases come back. You know, hopefully after we get the RMP taken care of through the BLM, they're ready to roll this thing back out. But I was sad to not see it take place.
But you do think it will come back after a bit.
I do believe it will, yes.
Yeah. Gunnison Energy has proposed conducting a 3D seismic operation on some 28,000 acres of public lands north of Paonia to determine if there is oil and gas potential there. You commissioners met with people from Gunnison Energy on, I believe it was October 23rd, in a work session on this. What exactly is this all about? And would it have any effects on Delta County, good or bad?
You know, seismic exploration, seismic development is something a lot of oil and gas companies do just to make sure that they're mapping the underground of where there's a proposed site. So they pick an area and they have a bunch of holes that they put small dynamite charges in, and then they have frequency sensors that sense what happens with that charge, with that bounce, that vibration, and they are able to get a determination of what's going on underground, the fractures, the fissures, how the lay of the land works underneath, stuff we don't see from above. Honestly, it's probably you know, one of the most environmental ways to pursue drilling, because you know what's there and you're not just going out poking a bunch of holes in exploration drilling. The problem Gunnison Energy had here is they didn't realize that they had to go through the specific development code of Delta County to pursue this. A lot of counties do not require it for seismic testing,
and we
Delta
do.
Delta County does. So, you know, they are trying to go back through that process. Everything got delayed a little bit because they have to go through the public hearing process and the notification process here in the county. So that got delayed a little bit, and we'll have to see what happens.
That was Delta County District 2 Commissioner Don Supas speaking with Felix Belmont. I'm Jody Peterson. Thank you for listening to Local Motion on KVNF.